morning. The first reading for today comes from Proverbs chapter 17, verses 27 and 28. It's from the book of Proverbs chapter 17, 27 and 28. You can find the reading on page 600. Those of you are using the pews or the Bible in the pews, or obviously it's up behind my on the screen. In this scripture, we learn that the words that we speak often impact how we are perceived. A cool spirit provides opportunities for others to understand God's love best. Listen now to God's word to you today. One who spares words is knowledgeable. One who is cool in spirit has understanding. Even fools who keep silent are considered wise. When they close their lips, they are deemed intelligent. This ends the first scripture.
Yesterday, you may see some folks today a little bedraggled or sunburnt from the tournament. It did go well yesterday. We are going to wait for a video, and then I'll tell you about it. You've all heard the phrase, just do it, and Nike doesn't have a monopoly on it. But that's what we're going to be talking about, is what does it mean in Scripture when James tells us just to do it? And we're going to talk about it. The golf tournament went well. We raised just about, after expenses, we raised just about $3,000. So praise God for that. And praise God that that is our last fundraiser for the mission trip. And so our next stop is Naples, Italy. We're very, very excited about it. I'm so glad to be able to be back up here after a week off in some ways, at least a week of not being behind the pulpit. You know, it's also been the last two Sundays have been the highest attendance Sundays for us for the year. Easter, you'd expect that. The Sunday after Easter, in most any other church, is the lowest attendance Sunday throughout the year. And when you match that with Youth Sunday, which also tends to be in most churches, a Sunday that some people take vacation from worship, you guys showed up, which was great, which was absolutely wonderful. And I think we all left with a thought in my mind of, a thought of in our mind of who knew, right? Who knew that our kids had so much talent and were so gifted? Some of us did, but I think we still were blown away. So it was exceptional. So I take the music stand back with much trepidation after Hannah and Leah led us in a sermon last week. We've also been away from James for almost a month with Easter and Palm Sunday, so maybe a little refresher course is in order. The author of James was the brother of whom? Jesus, good, good, well done. James was also written in a culture of crisis where the Christians were being kicked out of the synagogue and the Romans were rounding up Christians and persecuting them and getting ready to execute them as well. So that's the culture in which James writes, one where he knows the people who are listening or reading what he's written, at any moment their life could be expected. It was also a very controversial book. You remember Luther didn't like James at all. In fact, he called it the Epistle of Straw, said it had no place in our Bible. This is kind of our tradition. And our focus today, the verses that we're going to be looking at, are verses that focus on just doing it. Focus on action. And traditionally, as Protestants, we tend to shy away from any association between what we do, our works, and our salvation. We don't want any association with that. James looks at things in a way that maybe we're not used to, especially when we're talking about action, especially when we're talking about works. And that's why Luther wasn't crazy about it. And these verses that we're going to be reading today were some of the verses that he was the least happy about. So let's try to figure out how is that and why is that? We use our theology that we have is our actions come out as a result of our gratitude for our salvation. Because we are thankful to the Lord for dying on the cross, then we're going to act, not because we need to be saved, right? That's not the way we normally go about this. But in the years that I've traveled overseas as a missionary, I have seen hospitals, I have seen schools, I have seen development centers spring up everywhere as a result of Presbyterian mission. So we're doing something. We're not doing it because we're afraid we're not going to be saved. We're doing it as a result because we're so thankful for our salvation. But now that we laid that out, we're going to buck a little bit of that Protestant trend, which sometimes can lead to inaction. Well, I'm saved. I don't have to do anything. In fact, since my actions don't have anything to do with my salvation, why do anything? Why not just kind of be a part of the crowd with everyone else? James would say no. In fact, you may want to even question your salvation if you're not doing anything. All right, I'm not going to go there. But let's read through these verses that we find in James chapter 1 and ask that question, how does what we do reflect who we are? Or even better, how does what we do reflect to whom we belong? James chapter 1. Verses 19 through 25. James chapter 1, verses 19 through 25. Here, the brother of our blessed Savior say the following. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. Your anger doesn't produce righteousness. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your soul. Be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they're like those who look at themselves in a mirror. But they look at themselves, and on going away, they immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Loving God, we come to you now and we ask you that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts will be worthy and acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So James begins, again, writing in this culture of crisis. Look at verse 19. We're going to be kind of going verse by verse today. So you're going to need either your Bible or Leo's going to have to be really quick back there. One or the other, or maybe both. Look at verse 19 where he begins this section with a command. That doesn't always happen. So it's almost as if he says, you know, if you're not going to remember anything I've said up through these 18 verses, or I guess I would say, if you're not going to remember anything I've said about James, remember this. You must understand this, is what James states. And then what he does is he includes everyone, okay? When he goes into the command, he says, let everyone. I'm not just talking to the men. I'm not just talking to the women. I'm not talking to the youth or to the elderly. I'm not just talking to the married couples or the singles out there. Let everyone. And then be ready for the command. And I call this, what do I call it? I call this nuggets of respect. That's not what I call it. What did I say the first service? I hate going back to my notes. Sometimes I have to. A recipe for respect. I could have said nuggets. It would have worked too, wouldn't it? Huh, Mercedes? You like that better? And this is the command that everyone has to pay attention to and has to follow. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. You've heard that before, but so important. It's a command directed to everyone. And these words also reflect almost perfectly the words that Peter read to us in Proverbs. There's an incredible overlap. What Peter read to us, what we find in Proverbs is one word, one who spares words is knowledgeable, slow to speak. And then he goes on, one who is cool in spirit has understanding, slow to anger. These words overlap each other. In fact, Paul, if you go to Romans chapter 10, verse 17, he again echoes the same message that James is giving us at the beginning. Look at 10:17 when it talks as far as being slow to speak. Romans 10:17 tells us, so faith comes from what is what? Is it up there? What is heard. And what is heard comes through the word of Christ. A measured approach. A cool, calculated approach, Jesus tells us, shapes how we act and certainly shapes what we say. So what does this have to do with doing? We started off with that cool video, just do it. It has nothing to do with just doing. It does. Because what James says is before you just do it, you need to be ready. You need to lay a foundation. And the primary foundation is found in verse 19. You need to be slow to speak, slow to anger, quick to listen. The beginning foundation. And then he goes on and he lays an even better foundation. He tells us what we have to do on top of that. Because he tells us that actions generated out of love for Christ need to be sure to have a pure motive. What we do has to have a good foundation, because sometimes the best intentions that lack listening or lack understanding lead to tragic results. My grandfather is a missionary in the Congo, and my mom grew up in the Congo. And that was back in the day when not only they brought the gospel of Jesus Christ to people who had literally never heard the gospel, they also brought with them Western culture. And so when a village came to love and trust in Jesus Christ, my grandfather and other missionaries of that day would say, you know, it's great that you love Jesus, but chief, and other men in the village, if you have many wives, you need to only have one. And I had to clear this up the first service. I am not advocating polygamy, okay? But what happened as a result was a family unit, albeit an archaic family unit, one that we would never follow along with, but it was a stable unit. Women were forced to leave and go into prostitution, or they were forced to leave and somehow survive because the missionaries told them, you're not allowed. Great intention. They brought the gospel. They came to love Christ, but very, very damaging. Incredibly tragic results took place in many villages. We're beginning, you may have heard it mentioned in the prayer, we're beginning to talk about a housing ministry here in Strasbourg. And what exactly does that look like? You may not know it. I didn't know it. And you may be very well aware of it. So I may be the last person in Strasbourg who isn't aware of this. But we have a serious housing crisis within this community. We have a number of families within the LLS school district that have kids that are either on the brink of eviction or have been evicted or are just struggling, not knowing if next week they're going to have a place to stay or not. I didn't know anything about this. It was brought to the ministerium's attention, so So we gathered together and we met twice over these last couple of months to come up with a vision and idea for what that ministry could look like. And it's very exciting. Until last meeting, as we were forming this vision, we realized we have no idea what we're talking about. We don't know what's happening. So for the next meeting, we call Michelle Holland, who's the social worker at the LS school district, to come and begin to teach us, begin to give us an understanding. We'll be slow to act, quick to listen. Exactly what James mentioned in these verses. So we can't wait to see how we're going to learn and continue to learn. Uninformed action taken leads often to tragic results. We could just go out and say, hey, this is what you need, community, without knowing really what the community needs. So James, what he does here is he equips us for action. He equips us to just do it by encouraging us with this recipe or nugget for respect. But he's not done. If you go to verse 21, he continues to equip us. He's not quite ready to send us out and say, just do it. If you look at verse 21, he tells us to strip us of, that we're to strip ourselves of all that prevents us from representing or acting on behalf of our Savior. Get rid of all that is, that rid yourselves of all that is dirty and needs to be stripped clean from you. All that prevents or creates a barrier between you and the Savior. He puts it this way: rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness. And the word that he used for rid yourself is the same word as disrobe yourselves. Take those filthy clothes off that prevents you from being with the Savior. I have a friend of mine who was a pastor in West Virginia in the coal mining area. And he was wandering around that region with a parishioner, and the parishioner brought him to the entrance of a coal mine, and it was pretty dirty. I mean, there was coal ash everywhere, and it was gross. But there, right at the entrance, was this one little flower, white flower that was immaculate. And so he said to his parishioner, "Wow, it looks like one of the miners, as they come in and out every day, must dust it off and must get it all ready for the next day." And the parishioner picked up some dirt and threw it on the flower. And it shed the dirt. It didn't. None of it stuck. So it looked just as pristine as when he had thrown the dirt on it. And what the parishioner said was, it has a natural enamel which prevents any dust from clinging to it. Then he goes on and states, it must have been created especially for a place like this. Taking off any filth that clings to you, James tells us, you can't just do it without taking off, verse 21 says, sordidness. Not a word we use in our everyday conversation. Sordidness. When that word in Greek is used in a medical context, you know what it means? I love this. It's pretty gross. It means earwax, literally. In a medical context, this word sordidness means earwax. How appropriate, right? If you're going to be quick to listen, you can't do it when your ear is full of wax. Last week on Thursday, a week ago Thursday, Don Johnson, and I went to try out the golf course to make sure it was up to our standards for yesterday. It was a requirement. I think M&F told us we had to go do that. So we tried it out, and I had a good round going. The 18th hole, beautiful hole. There's water all along, and I had this great drive. I was like, it's a par five. I had like two, you have no idea what I'm talking about, but just go with the story. I was like 200 yards away from the pin. And it's a hard shot to hit any shot 200 yards. So I got out my wood and hit it, and guess where it went? Right in the water. And I could have gone and dropped the ball 100 yards away. It was legal. I'm not going to do that. And And my caddy, Don Johnson, said, don't do it. Drop the ball up there. And I looked at him like he was crazy. He's like, no. So I hit that ball so hard. And guess where it went? Right in the water. Right in the water again. I had too much ear wax, I think, in my ear. You have to listen to be able to put into play, to put into action that which God calls us to do. And James uses that word appropriately to remind us that we can't just do it if we're not listening, if we're not equipped. Let's go ahead and talk about doing now. Now, he says, now that you're equipped, now that you're quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger, now that you've rid yourselves of the filth of that which is weighing you down and not allowing you to have that relationship with your Savior, which you ought to have, now that that has happened, let's do it. In verse 21, he begins to tell us, and especially he tells us in verse 21 that we have implanted on our hearts the Word of God. That should remind you of the Matthew scripture of the sower who's just randomly spreading seed everywhere, and that seed he prays and hopes will be implanted in the heart of those so that the Word can germinate and grow and produce fruit. That's what he's referring to in verse 21. The Word of God is implanted in your hearts. And then he goes on to verse 22, so you need to be ready to do the Word, is what he states. You know, there comes a time when you hear, when you understand, when you're sitting in the pews, when you come to the programs of the church, you get your kids plugged in, but then eventually you need to do it as well. It's true in life in general. You can hear everything and learn certain things, but someone can teach you how to hit a golf ball, but unless you go out and actually hit it, it's not going to help you. Someone can teach you how to cut tobacco, but if you're just going to go out there one time, it's not really going to do that much for you. Someone can teach you and tell you you have to love your wife, but unless you actually do, it doesn't help hearing it. Practice makes perfect. There's no substitute for just doing it, and that's what James is telling us. And once you've been through that training, once you've been through what James tells us we need to be through, we need to go through, then we can do it. If any of you have served as a church officer, and you have, you've seen verse 25 come to life, any who have served in a capacity have more often than not received more blessings than they ever imagined they could get. Verse 25 tells us that blessed those who are doers who act will be blessed in their doing. Can I get an amen from any deacons out there? You know what that's like. You think you're going to that room to bless someone, but you leave more blessed than when you went in. We are a church that is very good at doing in certain areas of ministry. Before Session decided to hire a full-time youth director, you know what we did? We tabled it because we wanted to hear. We wanted to do what James said we should do. And so we were so pleased when so many of you showed up for the congregational reflection. Good group of you, and you all participated and took part in that. And so then Session felt equipped at least to have heard and then be able to make a decision. And so Session decided unanimously to go ahead and hire a full-time permanent youth director. The search is on. In the meantime, starting in June 1st, that guy back there, Brett, is going to be our interim youth director until the search is complete. Thanks. There's a shout out to Brett. But that didn't come about because we said, you know what, we're just going to do it. We're not going to listen to anyone. We're not going to get words. We're not going to hear from the congregation because, hey, we're Session, right? We make the decision. According to polity, that's true, but we want to make sure that we listen. There's some things we don't do as well. There's some things that we continue to hear and listen, but we don't do. And you've heard me from this music stand talk about hospitality. You know, our fellowship committee has 4 events that they're planning in a month. In 1 month, they're responsible for 4 events. It's amazing. I said 5 events first service. They were all like, wait a second, what's the 5th one? No, I was wrong, it's 4. That's a lot. But when I'm talking about us as individuals, how good do we do in regards to that young family with kids who visited those 2 or 3 times and then they disappeared, right? Have we as individuals invited them to our house or brought cookies to their house? Crazy idea. Who would do that? Kids like cookies. I like cookies. But kids like cookies. We hear the commands in Scripture, but we don't necessarily do a great job. What about outreach? That's their job. Outreach does a great job reaching out to the community. The Easter egg hunt, the Memorial Day parade, with all the different things. But us as individuals, don't lay it off on a committee. Hear the word to yourself as we hear it to ourselves as well. We're good at just doing it and visiting the sick and supporting our youth and taking care of our grounds and our music and our worship and the outreach to the community. I pray that as we hear these words from James, we're encouraged in those areas where we do just do it. But also that we'll be challenged in those areas that maybe we fall just a little bit short. May God bless us and keep us as we look to just do it, but under His command. Amen. Let us pray. Loving God, we do come before You today, and we praise You that You give us all that we need to reach out. You give us all that we need to be able to do Your beckoning, Your will. So teach us again, Lord. Teach us again how to be equipped, how to move forward in such a way so that your will can be done. We pray this now in Jesus' holy name. Amen.